WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. That's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us, sir. How are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
You are listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD, and I am Kevin Tachi. We have a great program lined up for you this evening. Most of our conversation this evening will focus on the city of Brockton and their race, but we also will have a mayoral candidate in. We have Ed Cowan, who is a challenger in Weymouth for mayor. As you know, Bob Hedlund seeking a second term as mayor. We'll have Ed in to chat with him about his campaign to hopefully be Weymouth's next mayor. Before we hear from Mr. Cowan, we will hear from Becky Coletta. Becky is the chairman of Pembroke's planning board, and she has announced that she is going to be a candidate for the soon-to-be-open Plymouth-Barnstable State Senate seat. She'll sit down and we'll get a chance to get an idea as to why she's running for this seat once it becomes open. Of course, we have to wait for Senator Vinny DiMacedo to formally announce that he is stepping from that seat. He's vacating it, and that should come any day or any time. But we'll get her take on the campaign and what it's going to be like to run on the state level. As prior to Becky being the on the planning board, she was a selectman in the town of Hanson. So we'll get get an idea as to her background and what her vision is if she is elected, or what the campaign could possibly look like, some of the issues. So that is the first hour in a nutshell. Hour number two will kick off with a little bit of a roundtable discussion, as I have invited a couple of broadcasters. We have a Bishop Tony Branch. Tony does a radio program down in the Taunton area, but he focuses on a lot of Brockton politics. Newbie Rateau. Newbie is a podcaster. Other than being an Emmy Award-winning documentarian, he's had a chance to speak with some of the candidates running in Brockton's elections tomorrow. So I'll kind of pick their brains about many of the races. We'll talk school committee a little bit. We'll talk about the ward races. And then the big part of the entree of the conversation will be the at-large race and, of course, the race for to be Brockton's next mayor. So I will get their take on it. And then just so you'll have an idea where the candidates were, where they stand, I did kind of consider replaying the political forum that we did here, but I wanted to kind of have each candidate in retrospect re-air their conversations that I had with them earlier this month. So you'll have a chance to hear from first Jimmy Pereira and his take on being a candidate, and, you know, after he was able to get one of the two spots after the preliminary, and also Council President Robert Sullivan. Will have a chance to speak with him as well and get his take on this race and some of the issues. So stay tuned for that.
Our public hearing for the vape ban will be held the Friday prior to Thanksgiving.
When is it?
We know they don't want you to show up. That, my friends, is precisely one more reason why you should show up.
Tell us again.
There is a compromise. Restrict sales of vaping products to 21-plus stores only. Tax it lucratively and stop the mail order from pouring into our state untaxed, unregulated. Let adults be adults. It's common sense for the Commonwealth. Brennan's Smoke Shop, Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, New Bedford.
Now download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
We are back with our first segment here on Monday Night Talk. And as we had a couple of weeks ago, we had a conversation with State Senator Vinny DiMaceto. Of course, you know, the senator serves both the Plymouth and Barnstable districts. And he announced that he is going to be a director over at Bridgewater State University. We, of course, now are anticipating when he will formally step down. That, of course, will open up another set of things that will take place that will... basically, what I'm saying is we'll see an announcement as to an election. But we've already started hearing from folks who are looking to hopefully be the next state senator to serve out the remainder of Senator DiMaceto's term. Joining us for this conversation to start off the program, we have Becky Coletta. Becky is someone, right now she is a Pembroke Planning Board member.
I'm the chair of the Planning Board, yeah.
She is the chair of the Planning Board. Welcome to Monday Night Talk, formally. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, Kevin.
Absolutely. And what's even more fun is we're having you in at the front of the program on the eve of a number of communities around the South Shore that are going to be having their town or city elections. So I thought we would kind of ease our way into talking about those, but also talk about, you know, campaigns, your campaign specifically. Tell us a little bit about yourself, other than being the chair of Pembroke's Planning Board. What other boards have you served on?
So the funny thing, given that you've done your time in Community Access TV, the very first board I joined in Hanson was the Community Access TV board, and we were responsible for creating the Whitman-Hanson Community Access TV Corporation and negotiating that transaction with Comcast. And then that led through other community service to my running for the Board of Selectmen in Hanson and serving a couple of years on that board. Then fast forward to moving to Pembroke and getting involved in the Pembroke Democratic Town Committee, getting involved in other people's elections. I decided to begin to serve the community more directly on the Planning Board 5.5 years ago and just ran for re-election in May.
Yeah, so what is it? Talk to me about going being a selectman, where basically you're the governing board, compared to being on the Planning Board, where it's a matter of folks coming in and talking about the developments and where they would want to, you know, build something and making sure that they're following all the rules and regulations when it comes to whether it's a development or if they're going to be coming in with a business. Talk to me about the differences between those two.
So when you're on the Board of Selectmen, you're dealing a lot with the finance of the town and the big issues. You have the support of a town manager or a town administrator who's doing a lot of the day-to-day work.
Correct.
You're focused on a lot of practical management issues. How do you manage a town efficiently and effectively? The Planning Board is not as tied to the finances of the town directly, although as a member of the Planning Board, I did serve on a subcommittee that was looking at revenue sources for the town and where development may help or hurt the finances of the town. But as a Planning Board member specifically, you're dealing with a lot of efforts that are driven by private sector interest in development in our town. You're trying to look at your bylaws and how they hurt or help that development opportunity, how you maintain a quality of life that people want in our town. Pembroke is not a town that wants to be a big, large city-type town. It wants to maintain its local rural feel. Mm. So you're trying to balance the interest of the private developers with the interest of the people who live in the town and the quality of life they want to maintain. It's a different focus, but it's been incredibly interesting. This spring, we actually tried to clean up some of our bylaws, and I think we had 15 to 18 articles on the town warrant that dealt with updating some of our bylaws. And one of the big issues was we passed a cluster zoning bylaw in Pembroke for the first time that would allow a developer to come in and maintain half of the property as open space, half of the property as residential development. It's a whole different animal. This was brought to us to consider by the people who want to redevelop the Pembroke Country Club. And that started the conversation. Then we took it to the point of, okay, well, how do we do this in a way that is going to be a positive impact on the town? How do we make sure that we're going to have open space? How do we make sure that we're going to have affordable housing as part of the mix? Because when we look at 40B projects and when we look at maintaining our control of the affordable housing inventory and we look at new development, we have to include affordable housing in that development. So it's been a really interesting year in the Pembroke Planning Board where we start to look at some of those development issues.
Now, recently, you have announced to be a candidate for State Senate. What was the decision like to say, this is something I want to do? I want to take this next step. I want to serve the folks in this district.
So part of it came up very quickly for me. I've done a lot of different things in my life as an attorney for the last almost 30 years, as someone who went back to get a master's in social work, cares a lot about social work and mental health issues, as someone who's also a realtor and sees some of the local economic and development issues from a realtor's perspective, some of the coastal issues from a realtor's perspective. And I have lived and worked in other parts of the world. And my decision was based on trying to pull all of the experience and skill sets together to serve this district. And this position allows a lot of impact on a wider basis than what I've done in town government.
Okay, we're speaking with Becky Coletta. She is a candidate for, I believe, a Democrat. For this seat, the Plymouth Barnstable State Senate seat, whenever it is announced that Vinny is stepping, and then they announce they'll do a special primary and then a special election. They'll serve out the remainder of that term. It's interesting to see that there are a number of candidates that are already getting involved with this, especially on the Democratic side of this, and knowing that this prior to Senator DiMacito being elected to the seat, that the former Senate President Therese Murray held the seat, and it seems as though the Democrats want to retake the seat back. Give me your thoughts in regards to that.
Well, I think the Democrats are fairly energized this year in general, and I'm seeing the Democrats very energized on the South Shore. When Senator DiMacito announced publicly that he was stepping down, I had about 48 hours before I made the decision to file with the Office of Campaign and Political Finance my campaign to establish my campaign and the ability to begin to fundraise and set up a campaign. And I do think that with at least four Democrats now in the race, there's a lot of attention on this seat, there's a lot of focus on the seat, and there is a belief that we can bring this back to the Democratic Party. We think we will be well served on Beacon Hill by a Democrat in this seat who will fight for the kind of issues we care about and get us back in the conversation on the Democratic side. But Senator DiMacito, I will give it to the fact that he did a great job of working with the Democrats around him.
Right.
And with the other representatives in the area, be they Democrat or Republican, we've had a very strong delegation from this area. And it's been because Democrats and Republicans have worked together. And I think whether it's a Democratic seat or a Republican seat, that absolutely has to continue.
So one of my prime questions would be, and this is early on, because this is subject to change and to update, and the more you're out there, the more that you're speaking with constituents in the district, I'm sure that the issues or what the set of issues are going to grow, and they are going to be a little bit more complex than just a 50,000-foot conversation about them. What do you see early on are some of the key issues that are going to resonate with the voters
come this special election, whether it's earlier in the year or somewhere prior to the spring.
So some key issues that I feel like are affecting people everywhere: growing income inequality. We've got to do something about the fact that people are working harder and not getting ahead. Substance abuse, mental health issues, plaguing the South Shore. Talk to friends in that world. And part of the issue is funding. Part of the issue is adequate resources. People can go and ask for help, and there's no place to go to get it. There aren't enough beds. We just don't have enough beds. So fighting for those issues. And fighting to make sure we get the resources we need to address the impact of climate change on our coastal region and on our children's future. We have a lot of towns that are impacted in various ways by climate change, and focusing on that issue will be key for me as someone who did grow up in Louisiana and has seen climate change have an impact there for many years. I worked for an engineering company that was based in Louisiana, and we did a lot of coastal restoration work down there, continuing to do coastal restoration work after we've gotten bought out. I'm no longer involved. And those issues, and finding a way to get those issues addressed and funded in an efficient and effective way on a district-wide basis, I think will be key for the State Center. The other issues are the bridges. Army Corps of Engineers are saying that the Bourne Bridge and the Sagamore Bridge need to be replaced. How that happens, how the community has a voice in that happening, how the local residents are going to be impacted by that, which I think is a great thing for the district as a whole, because the traffic from the Bourne and Sagamore bridges don't just affect the Cape, they also affect Plymouth and Kingston and Pembroke. And those of us who live down here and feel like, how do I get to Plymouth on a Saturday in the summer, right? And so if you don't have an efficient way to get people to Cape Cod, maybe there are other transportation solutions that haven't been even fully vetted yet.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get people to the Cape Cod and not create backups in all of our towns along the way? So it's both a Cape issue and a South Shore issue in my mind. The other issue is that I'm looking at is the decommissioning of the Plymouth plant. I was distressed to see that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission is allowing Energy to transfer the decommissioning process to an LLC that's set up to do the decommissioning and will have a certain set amount of money to do it, and that's it. So if the decommissioning ends up costing more than that, Energy is being let off the hook. That's a big concern. So Maura Healey, our Attorney General, did file this week for a stay of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission decision on that. And I'm going to be watching that and hopefully finding a way. People also feel like they were very much cut out of some of the decisions about how the decommissioning is going to take place and how it might impact our roads and our infrastructure and some of the risk involved. So I want to get more involved in that issue. There's another issue that came up recently where the lobstermen are finding that there are some spots where they're getting some warm dead zones that is toxic to the lobster in a way that they hadn't really seen before. Again, coastal climate change impacts that we'll need to address. Right now, though, I'm also on a listening tour. I'm doing a lot of talking right now, but when I talk to people directly, and I'm not on the air, I am talking and learning and listening about what are the key issues in Pembroke and Kingston and Plymouth and Sandwich and Bourne and Falmouth.
Yeah, we're speaking with Rebecca Coletta. She has announced that she is a candidate for the Plymouth-Barnstable State Senate seat. There'll be a primary special election featuring a primary and a general election. We just got a couple of moments left here, but I want to kind of touch upon one of the final issues that you touched on. And there were so many in there. I wish we had more time that we can kind of really drill down into a couple of them. Just knowing that there's been repeated reporting here on WATD in regards to the Holtec International and the transfer of that license from Entergy, and knowing my understanding is that there's been money that, I don't know if it's the citizens of Plymouth or if it's something that there's monies that have been put into a pot over the years for when this day came for the decommissioning of the Pilgrim Nuclear Power Station, that I don't know if it's in excess of a billion or close to $2 billion, but those are the monies that are supposed to be set aside to clean this up, knowing that that's something that's going to go into the hands, and this is just my my purview of this, that Holtec can come in, offer a solution. And if there's any, if it only costs them, let's say they say, oh, they take the cheapest way out to be able to clean this site up and remediate it, that in fact, that they, whatever's left over. So, okay, it cost us $800 million to do this. So the rest of the money's ours. So
right.
It's almost as though it's, you know, let's turn a profit here and not have keep the remainder of it in escrow until we know 20, 30, 40 years down the road that, in fact,
you don't have any continuing repercussions.
Yes.
Yes. That is part of it, is Holtec is going to be, and part of, you know, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission has a lot of nuclear people on that commission, and so it does tend to be somewhat favorable to industry. So yes, Holtec is there to make money. The people who set up this LLC and took on this job are there to take money, make mm-hmm. money. And Entergy is there to limit liability. So this whole arrangement is designed to make Holtec money, limit Entergy's liability, and do what is required, but not necessarily what we may want in terms of the decommissioning of that plant.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, I've been a business attorney for many, many years, almost 30, and a lot of my work was in dealing with telecommunications companies and dealing with large-scale negotiations, and I understand how businesses set up to limit liability and to get things done, and maybe it'll be fine. I just don't like maybes. And I'm hoping that Attorney General Healey can get some relief for us so that there can be more local input and a little more local control and a little more assurance that this is going to be done right in a way that makes our communities better.
Yeah, we don't want this. I think the residents in the Pilgrim and in the neighboring abutting communities don't want this to turn into a future Superfund site or a former fireworks
factory.
Site, a factory that, you know, now is currently, you know, there are questions as to health concerns that folks have been realizing, and now it's, okay, we need to clean this up, and realizing after the fact, maybe while this conversation was ongoing, that it was fully vetted and then everybody felt good. We can get into this. We can have more conversations.
I'll be back whenever you want me.
Absolutely. And as the door's open for all candidates for this particular race, that's what we do here. We talk. We talk about the issues. We inform. All we are is just a way to inform the folks, our listeners, which we are grateful for. As we wrap up, if folks want to find out more about your campaign, where are you as far as setting up a website or Facebook or anything like that, or even campaign information that they can reach out to you almost immediately?
BeckyColletta.com. That's 1L, 2 T's. BeckyColletta.com. We also have a Facebook page, Becky Coletta for State Senate. So you can find us on Facebook. You can find us on the web. You know, you keep in mind that this came up so quickly, and within 48 hours, I was filing my campaign. Within 2 days later, we had our Facebook site up. A few days after that, we had our website up. We are going to be continuing to get our message out and develop our campaign materials along the way.
And I'm sure you're looking forward to this campaign.
I am very much looking forward to this campaign.
Excellent. Becky, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kevin, for having me.
You got it. We are going to step aside just for a couple of moments, but we're still kind of staying in the theme of candidates who are out on the campaign trail. Ed Cowan joining us in just a few moments here. He, of course, he's got a big day tomorrow in Weymouth as they go to the polls to elect officials, whether it's for town council or mayor. You are listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD. Please stay tuned.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
All across the South Shore, you'll find the doctors, nurses, and specialists of Brigham Health. We live here, work here, and care here. For over 25 years, we've been providing exceptional primary and multi-specialty care to the communities of the South Shore. This expert, compassionate care is rooted in the clinical excellence and breakthrough research of Brigham and Women's Hospital, one of the nation's best, according to U.S. News & World Report. Visit our newest location in Pembroke, now accepting new patients. BrighamHealth.org/South Shore. Brigham Health, Member Partners Healthcare.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
Over-medicating chronic health issues can be an issue of its own. The time has come for efficient, plant-based remedies formulated specifically for you. Join the millions of other Americans who have found relief thanks to CBD oil. Your CBD store on Route 53 in Hanover has award-winning CBD-based products targeted for use in pain management, anxiety, depression, nausea, insomnia, and seizures. The Farm Bill of 2018 legalized the use of industrialized hemp, making it 100% legal in all 50 states. However, there's a lot of misinformation about CBD. Before you make a decision, you should learn all the facts. There is absolutely no marijuana in products sold by your CBD store of Hanover. Find a better way to treat your chronic conditions. Visit a trusted resource with award-winning products. Your CBD store of Hanover at 1271 Washington Street on Route 53 in Hanover. Your CBD store of Hanover. Help without the high.
Getting sick is inconvenient. Getting great care shouldn't be. From illnesses to injuries, ConvenientMD, New England's leading urgent care provider, is here to guide you back to good health. Walk into any ConvenientMD location in Quincy, Weymouth, Falmouth, or their newest location in Pembroke, opening November 14th, located on Route 139, to be seen by their expert medical team. All clinics are open 7 days a week, 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. Convenient MD, expert medical care when you need it, made affordable. Learn more at convenientmd.com.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Don't just listen, say something. Call 781-837-4900. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Okay, we are back again. This is the eve of many elections in and around the South Shore. As I listed off earlier, you've got races, city races in the city of Brockton. I believe that Quincy will be having theirs, Braintree, and this is just off the top of my head, and, of course, the town of Weymouth. And joining us, this gentleman is a candidate for mayor in Weymouth. His name is Ed Cowan. Ed, welcome to Monday Night Talk, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thanks a lot. It's good to be here. So I was born in Taunton, Massachusetts. Went to high school in Norton. Ended up joining the Marine Corps after high school. Went on 2 deployments. Came back. Had my own issues. Went to work and doing construction and, you know, roofing and flooring. And then eventually started to think about running for office. So that's kind of how this started.
Running for office. So what has it been like? Is this your first run for office?
Yes.
What has it been like?
It's fascinating, frustrating, exciting. It's unique. It's kind of unique to, like, you have to run in order to know what it's like to run.
Right.
It definitely has some really good things, like the people when you're knocking on the doors. There's some really good people out there, and then the politics side of it's a little different, but that's been interesting as well.
Well, you know, it's interesting because here we are. We're on the eve of your election.
Yes.
You got any butterflies? You got any nerves? What has it been like up
to this point in regards to talking about the issues? What are some of the issues that have resonated with folks? And that's kind of like two questions in one. But first, what has it been like, you know, getting out there and getting to this point?
Well, no nerves. I don't have any nerves about it. I've been working hard all summer long, knocking on doors all over town, making one good decision at a time, and just doing what I can do and living with it. So I've done what I can do. I'm excited about the election. I'm looking forward to it, but you know, let the chips fall where they may, pretty much.
What are the issues? What have you been hearing? And I'm sure that there's, after a while, it becomes repetitive. What are you hearing from the residents? What are some of the concerns that residents have had and that they're hoping, if you are successful tomorrow night, that you will definitely take a look at and start to work on?
So actually, all kinds of different things, and it's really been really good to hear people, like some of the things, like the pricing on Comcast actually comes up a lot, electric bills, cable bills. So I kept hearing that repetitively, and I was kept thinking to myself, what's the best way to, you know, approach that? And I honestly think Weymouth needs to form its own utilities.
Really?
Electric, internet, maybe cable, and we take back that control over the utilities. We take the added tax revenue every single year, and we put it into the schools, the roads, all of that. And it also allows us to have some autonomy over, you know, National Grid, who owns 10% of the fracked gas compressor station pipe that's, you know, they're trying to put in North Weymouth that nobody wants and we don't need, we don't benefit from. So that's been one of my answers to that issue. You know, you have developers in town using loopholes in order to put up 100, you know, apartment buildings on 1 acre of land. So they need someone who's actually, who can stand up to, for their, on their behalf, who doesn't take money from them, doesn't take money from developers in town, doesn't take money from companies lining up at the town trough for contracts and to do business. So that'll allow me to go in with an open, fresh perspective and represent the will of the people of Weymouth.
What are you ready to do in regards to working with the town council? And working on various initiatives. I mean, one of the things I believe that you'd work with the town council on is when it comes to putting together an annual budget, discussing, making sure you have enough for the municipal side, but education is usually a top issue, making sure that there's enough money for the school system.
Absolutely. So since the beginning of this race, I've been folk really made it an important piece of my campaign to build and maintain relationships with folks on the town council, the school committee, just people in general all over town that are active and engaged in their community. You know, I'm not going in there to make any enemies or anything like that. I'm about building people up and getting things done. And so I've been building relationships with all the town councilmen and women, and you know, we have some talented people in Weymouth, and I want to put that to use. I want to, for the people.
Has there been any discussions, whether it's in political forums, whether it's conversations with folks in and around town about economic development and how important that is for the community to thrive?
Absolutely. So it's very important. You know, we need businesses to come in and to contribute, to be a part of the community. My issue on it, and what I'll demand from all people that want to do business in Weymouth, is that they want companies that want to work in town want to be good corporate neighbors. They, you know, from all kinds of different issues, but, you know, we have some companies in town that aren't supposed to, you know, be driving their trucks 24/7 down the road, you know. So we're going to work with some folks, and we're, I want good businesses in here. I'd like to draw in some new age, like manufacturing, some environmentally sustainable kinds of business. There's all kinds of things I want to do. It's important, but you can't just let companies just kind of do what they want. They need to be held to a higher standard, and we all do, honestly.
I want to stay on the conversation of union point and also kind of direct our conversation in regards to the former Naval Air Base that is shared by three communities, including the town of Weymouth, knowing that yet again, Union Point, as it's called now, but the company, the corporation that is supposed to be overseeing its development and management, seems to be that there's a stall in making progress. What's your understanding of what's going on at the former Naval Air Base, and what is your vision as mayor, if you're successful tomorrow night, what you'd like to see moving forward, especially on the parcel that Weymouth is, you know, privy to?
So Union Point, I've really focused on Union Point since the beginning of my campaign. There's some really, really great people over there that were really, like, open and interested to hear what I had to say, even when, you know, others necessarily didn't. So I really appreciate the folks over there, and I'm going to have their back. So I've personally believe that there should be an investigation. You know, we had a master developer in there who walked away with, what, $8 million of other contractors' money. So now in order to have a developer in there, they want an agreement up front that the next developer is going to take care of that debt towards the other contractors. And rightly so. They should, you know, you did the work, they should get paid. It isn't the next developer's fault or anything like that, but what's right is right. So any developer that wants to come in town, like I was saying earlier, that wants to do business in town, they might as well put up a chair that says Mayor Cowan, because I will be there all the time. You know, I want to make sure that these companies are coming in, you know, not just blowing smoke, basically, but that are meeting their obligations and keeping their commitments. You know, you put something down on paper, you tell the folks the one thing, that's what it needs to be, you know. So the people of Union Point are going to have a good fighter on their behalf, and that's me.
Okay, we're speaking with Ed Cowan. Ed is a candidate for mayor in Weymouth. He'll be on your ballot tomorrow as you head out to the polls.
First one on the ballot.
So I would ask you this: what have your forums been with the incumbent, with Mayor Hadlin? What have those been like?
They've been interesting. You know, the forum people do the best they can. Honestly, some have been really great. All have been really great. The fact that you can get your message out is really great, you know. It's been interesting to be able to sit there. And me and the current mayor, we disagree strongly on all kinds of issues.
Give me some examples. What are some of the issues that the two of you... Because I believe that there are going to be some issues that you're both going to be lockstep on, because it's common sense, like public safety and things like that.
Absolutely.
But I'm sure that there are other areas that you could share with us that you both disagree. Give us a couple of examples, and then also where you would want to go with a particular issue as compared to what the incumbent wants to go.
So, I mean, nationally, there's major issues, but In town, though, it's based on more of your decision-making process and how you solve problems and which route you take to do that. So, you know, he's not a bad guy. We've had some good conversations, and I'm actually really glad that we were actually able to have a race on the issues, not a personal fight. You know, either way, it's been really respectful, and you know, and that's setting a good example for others to follow. So I definitely appreciate that.
I would say this is I remember when we had 4 years ago, we did a political forum here at WATD, and the mayor at that time was a candidate, and in prior years when he was seeking re-election to the state senate, and it was interesting that he was an individual who stuck to the issues. And at least there's very few candidates, if they feel that they're not doing well in a conversation, will want to use other means to kind of tip the scales to so that there's, you know, a little bit of leverage. Absolutely. When it comes to it. But I've never found that. So I'm glad that there's a common ground there as to that. But give me an example of something that you and the mayor, give me one issue that you both disagree on and what your stance is and what you would like to do differently.
So for me, it's about approach and experience. His experiences inform his decision-making process. Well, I have quite a bit of my own experiences. A Marine Corps vet, led Marines. I had a top-secret clearance. I was selected to work for the President of the United States. I came home to a country that, you know, was embroiled in two wars overseas, had a full-blown opioid epidemic and a global recession, all when I got home from the Middle East after my second deployment. So those parts of my life that I went through and lived through are going to inform my decision-making process. I had my own issues with substances and PTSD and all that. There's a lot of vets that have issues like that. Now, as far as issues, I'm talking, for example, like former Neuron Utilities. It's not that he would say like that's all a terrible idea or something like that, but you know, it's about leadership. It's about knowing which direction this town needs to go in and why. And then being able to go around town explaining it to folks, you know. The best leaders are always teachers. If you can teach the folks, you can explain your vision and what you hope to do, and you can build a mass movement to get it done.
Well, we want to wish you the best of luck. We just got a couple of minutes left here with you. And anything you want to say to the folks, whether it's having them mobilize to any platforms you have, whether it's social media or a website, or even where they might find you out at the polls tomorrow.
So I'll be all over the polls. We're going to have folks at all or most of the polling locations with some signs. I'll be roving in between, making sure, you know, morale's high. For whether you agree with folks like myself or the current mayor, it's important to vote. Your country needs it. Your community needs it. You know, we all need to have our voice represented. And I appreciate the opportunity to come here. And if you want to check out anything about our campaign, it's edforweymouth.com. And if you want to give me a shout, it's edforweymouth@gmail.com. Polls are open from 7 to 8, and I hope to see you all out there.
Where are you going to be tomorrow? Where are you going to be tomorrow night? Where are you going to be as far as when the results come in? Do you have a place already picked?
Yeah, that's a little in flux, but yes.
Is it better that for them just to follow your any of the information you just gave out?
Yes, and we'll have no matter where I'm actually at, we will be filming it, sharing it, and posting it online, so you can people can always check it out. And once we have the exact location nailed down, I have a few options, then we'll make a post about that as well.
Well, I want to thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Probably first and foremost, thank you very much for your service to our country.
Absolutely.
And protecting our freedoms. And folks, it is important for you to get out there and vote and to make a decision, whether you're in Quincy or Weymouth or Braintree or Brockton.
Vote.
It's very, very important. Okay, we're going to step aside as this concludes the first hour of Monday Night Talk. When we come back, hour number two, we're going to focus a little bit on the city of Brockton. We'll have a little bit of a conversation about what's going on. I got some folks who have had a chance to have conversations with candidates and get their opinion as to who they feel could be in the position of victory tomorrow night. And we'll also be rebroadcasting conversations that we've had with the two mayoral candidates. You are listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD. Stay tuned.
The South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
95.9 WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Go ahead, indulge yourself every Wednesday night at Tune In to Talk with Francesca and join me for provocative conversation, intriguing stories, and inspiration. So sit back and relax, or be stimulated, or both, because being connected feels good. It's contagious, and I personally want to spread it around. Don't miss Talk with Francesca Wednesday nights at 8:30 on 95.9 WATD.
All across the South Shore, you'll find the doctors, nurses, and specialists of Brigham Health. We live here, work here, and care here. For over 25 years, we've been providing exceptional primary and multi-specialty care to the communities of the South Shore. This expert, compassionate care is rooted in the clinical excellence and breakthrough research of Brigham and Women's Hospital, one of the nation's best, according to U.S. News & World Report. Visit our newest location in Pembroke, now accepting new patients. BrighamHealth.org/South Shore. Brigham Health, Member Partners Healthcare.
I'm Mary Ellen from your CBD store in Hanover. With my background in health education here in the South Shore, I know all about managing chronic pain. The results I found from people in my life and from millions of other people across the country using CBD oil has led me to open your CBD store on Route 53 in Hanover. However, there's lots of misinformation about CBD. The Farm Bill of 2018 legalized the use of industrialized hemp. Your CBD store of Hanover only sells products made from industrialized certified hemp, making it 100% legal in all 50 states. There's absolutely no marijuana in products sold by your CBD store of Hanover. In fact, most of our products contain no THC. CBD has many targeted uses. Visit our boutique style store. We would love to explain how we can make it work for you. Your CBD store of Hanover at 1271 Washington Street on Route 53 in Hanover. Your CBD store of Hanover. Help without the high.
Are you worried about your drinking?
Or is someone else worried about your drinking?
Alcoholics Anonymous has a solution.
There is no shame in living with a disease called alcoholism.
Regardless of your age, employment, or any other circumstances in your life, you deserve help from other individuals who understand what you are going through.
For more information, literature, and videos about Alcoholics Anonymous, and to find a meeting near you, visit AA.org. Alcoholics Anonymous has a solution.
Be a part of the show. Call in and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Okay, we are back for hour number two of Monday Night Talk. Just a little bit of a heads up. After this conversation, following this segment, we'll re-air our visits with the two mayoral candidates in Brockton, Jimmy Pereira and Robert Sullivan. So stay tuned for that. But right now, I got two great gentlemen who have been on this radio program numerous times. It's like beyond that, the Saturday Night Live when they've appeared five times and they get the jacket and they're part of the club. although I haven't given these gentlemen their jackets just yet. But we have on your radio dial from left to right, we'll start with Bishop Tony Branch. Tony is not only a member of the Southeastern Regional School Committee, not only the chair of the Diversity Commission in the city of Brockton, but he hosts a show on the weekends. I believe, what's the state? WVBF?
Yes, on 1530 AM, and we are repeating on FM. I forgot the actual license name, but it's Stand Up Strong with Ed Miller and Tony Branch.
See, it should be the other way around. That's just me.
Kevin, you know we love you so much. We love you. I love Newbie too, but we love you.
And then, of course, drum roll for the other gentleman.
The man of the hour.
The award-winning,
yes.
The Emmy-winning with the fancy shoes, Newbitson Rattel.
Yeah.
As he's here. And the reason why I asked these two gentlemen to join me for this segment, because they have, like myself, have had a chance to speak with the candidates. They've been following what's going on in the city of Brockton. They know tomorrow's ballot for the city elections. Of course, you got 7 wards, 28 precincts.
Yes.
You want to get out there 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. If you're in line at 8 p.m., I'm sure they'll let you get up there and pull a ballot and pick your candidates. Gentlemen, if you will, we'll start with you, Bishop. What has this election season been like in your own words?
One word, tough. It's a tough election in the city of Brockton, not only with respect to the ward race and the at-large race, but I think that what's overwhelming is the run for the office of mayor of the city of Brockton. You know, we came in with, I think it was 6 or 7 candidates, so they were seeking that office. Some were quite unknown to the community at large. Some were, you know, doing it because they have done it before. But at the end of the day, that many of us as activists in the city of Brockton was very concerned that it was divided on racial and ethnic lines. And I don't think that that was disproven. I think that when you look at how the numbers ended up with Councilor Sullivan, Jimmy Pereira and Darren Court, you can clearly see that those numbers were really based upon the ethnicity of the city, which is a bit disturbing because Brockton, like I've said for many years, is truly a rainbow. And that no matter what your politics is, I love my neighbor. And I think that we should all love our neighbors. And that's not, a religious response. That is the fact that I think that you should be voting for the candidate that is going to meet the needs of you and your family.
Newbie, and I didn't mention this when we had talked about his awards, but he is also somebody who has his own podcast. He does something called The Conversation. And, of course, he'll give you all the rates and everything if you want to start your own podcast.
I love Newbie and his podcast.
But Newbie, if you could give us your take on the city elections. Do you agree with Bishop, or do you have your own take?
Well, I agree. Plus, you know, I think in addition to what Bishop said, I think it has to do with it's a generational thing as well. And I think it's a reflection of kind of what goes on in the national race. I mean, look at the national races in terms of congresswomen and congressmen, in terms of, you know, Ayanna Pressley, AOC. You know, there's a young group of politicians who are tired of the status quo, who are really aggressive in trying to make some change. And there's a group of experienced folks who say, you got to weather the storm here. You got to stay even keel and balance. And there's that clash going on. Mm-hmm. It's a national thing going on, and it's really reflected in our local races.
So I would ask you, let's start out with, and while we're not going to dive into, because there's so many school committee and ward races, I think our main focus should be on the two citywide races. That's at large and mayor. Not to say that I'm diminishing it, but we just the time that we have.
Right.
If we were to look at any of the races, and I'll give you both your primary race that you're watching that we could see a surprise, and maybe a secondary. We'll start with you, Newbie. Is there a race that you're watching that we're going to see that we could see an upset, whether it's school committee or one of the ward races?
Well, I think we got to look at Ward 3. Mm. You see...
That's Marlon Green.
Mm-hmm. Marlon Green and Darren Sinieri.
Yep.
Which is the incumbent. I think, and again, mm-hmm. what we're talking about, it's the same type of thing, a generational divide, okay? Marlon Green a little younger, and this is his third time going at it in terms of running for city council in Ward 3. And I think it's gaining some momentum. It's going to be interesting. You know, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what type of energy. And it's and if the percentage of voters is high, it's probably edge Marlon Green. If it's a little lower, then probably edge Dan Sinieri. So it's going to be very interesting. But I think that's a very interesting race to mm-hmm, watch mm-hmm. because Marlon, he's not new to the game. He's not new to the game. And there's some excitement around his campaign.
And so what's the second race that would be a close second to this race that you talked, you just mentioned?
In terms of Ward, I'd say Ward 5. You know, Ward 5, Jeff Thompson and Cindy Koska.
That's for Ann Borregazzi, who's actually Ann, is going for at large.
Absolutely. So okay. I think that's a race that we got to watch in terms of those two Ward races. So it's going to be interesting to see on that aspect. Cindy's been, you know, involved in the neighborhood for years. So, you know, we'll see in terms of that. But it's got to be a voter turnout. Again, you know, the thing is that the voter turnout's high. The likelihood of someone new being an upset is a lot higher. Mm-hmm. So I think 3 and 5, we got to watch those races.
Bishop, your turn. Give me your primary race that you're watching.
My primary race is actually Ward 3 as well. It's not that, I mean, I know Bishop Green, but I think Marlon has run a very strong campaign. I thought, I do a lot of analysis, but he's run a very strong campaign. I don't know if Dennis is going to be able to hold on to that seat if there's a large turnout as well. So I'm on money with what Newby is saying. With respect to what's happening with Jeff and Cindy on 5, that's getting to be a little bit nasty. And I think that what might happen there, it all depends on if people are paying attention with social media. I think Cindy may catch up to Jeff. I don't know. I think clearly Jeff is the favorite. He's well known for the work that he's been doing on the zoning board and stuff like that. But Cindy has been an activist for many years, especially from Ward 4. So those are two significant races that may be an upset in the city with if the voters come out. Now, it's not going to really matter with respect to Ward 5, but it will matter on Ward 3.
Okay. So I'll ask you individually. We haven't mentioned as far as you got two other races that I'm kind of eyeballing. Bishop, I saw you weighing in about Shirley Azak, who is the Ward 7 councilor. Mm. What do you think of that particular race? I saw you weigh in and give your thoughts on it.
You know, Newby best explained it and articulated it well. I think I have nothing against the young man that's running against her. I think that, but to Newby's point, there is a generational shift in the city of Brockton where young folks are coming out and they want to leave, which is fine. Mm. My position is, Shirley's done nothing to upset her from that seat. And one of the examples that I have given is that there was a very tense time before the Brockton City Council with some folks that are people of color that Bill had sought to put on commissions. And the questioning by some of those city councilors I want to be very careful what I say, but let me just say challenging. And as a result of those challenging conversations, Shirley was the only one on the Brockton City Council to actually apologize to Doris. It actually was Doris Smith that she apologized to. So I'm willing to tell you there is no reason to unseat her. Hence my position that she'll win re-election.
So I'll direct to Newby. You and I before, you know, during the break, we were talking a little bit about Ward 6. You've got a young Jack Lally, a young guy, but you got Julio Pomar, who you ran for mayor. I think he's a great guy. Could we possibly see an upset there? Do we see Mr. Lally return for another term?
Well, I think in terms of that, the incumbent, in terms of Jack, has the advantage in this race. But if that were to be upset, I think the issue is, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, Jack's a great guy, but just in terms of the experience, the life experience is necessary to get to that seat. And that's why you've seen people challenge him, okay?
Over and over again.
You know, that's something that, listen, at 20-something years old, not that you're not a smart person, you are, but there's certain things that I may know at the age of 30 that literally life teaches you. So I think that's why, you know, he's getting challenged. I do think he will edge out and win that seat back again, but that's going to be a lot closer than what people think.
Let's move our conversation to the at-large race. Folks may or may not know, but there are eight candidates for four seats. We know that there are two actual incumbents. We know that Moses Rodriguez, who is serving, he is right now the 49th mayor. Correct. Of the city of Brockton, but he decided instead of seeking re-election, he decided he wants to return back to being an at-large, decided to keep his papers in for the at-large race. You got Wynn Falwell, and then you have Ann Beauregard, who was Ward 5. She has experience, but again, she's kind of a newcomer to the at-large race. And there are a number of other really good candidates that are in here. I think Rita Mendez, great campaign. Again, as I was talking to Newby during the break really quick, and that was, I loved her slogan where, you know what, she's not a politician, she's a mom and she cares.
You love that slogan?
I kind of liked it, yeah.
Okay.
Why?
Right.
Did you not?
No, there's been a lot of talk about that slogan here in the city of Brockton, and I know actually that the NAACP had asked her, what it was one of the wrap-up questions with regard to why did she develop that slogan. So she's been getting a lot of feedback on that slogan. I know that she's dropped it on some of her new signages. But
no kidding.
Well, you know what, guys? The slogan is, we're talking about it. We remember it.
Newbie's right.
That's an advantage.
Yeah, newbie's right.
You remember
right.
the slogan, whether you like it or not, and that's an advantage.
I actually agree with what it meant. I get what she was doing, but people were, you know, pushing back on it, but it is what it is.
People are people.
But I think Rita, you know, I've called this one now, and I'll go on the record here as well. I think Rita has got one of those slots, one of those seats. I really do believe that. And as a matter of fact, I think that her chances have even increased even better as a result of what's happening with the non-net spending on the transportation costs.
Good. Do you want to weigh in?
Yeah, I think the two incumbents get in, Council Wynn Farrell and Moses.
Yep.
I think they get in. I agree.
Fourth seat.
Rita, I think she has so much of momentum. During the primaries, I don't see her losing a lot of those votes.
And she's playing,
catching up.
And she's playing it safe.
Absolutely.
If you look at any of her interviews, if you look at what she's doing in the media, knocking on the door, she's playing it safe. She's not ruffling any feathers at all. So I'm willing to say that she's a shoo-in.
And any concern there, though? Would you have any concern about that?
No. Okay. I think she you know who she reminds me of? Hey, Jack, don't get it wrong. Jack's a friend of mine. Jack does the same thing. And this is how he's going to get rid. Jack doesn't ruffle any feathers. But during a re-election period, it's to his detriment. And this is how Julio's able to come after
him.
But that's my two cents.
I do think there's going to be a logjam for that fourth spot.
Yes,
I think it's going to probably separate between a couple hundred votes.
Yes.
I do think...
Who do you feel are going to be the ones who are going to be vying? So this is... Are we all saying here that Moses, Wynn, and Rita... Are safe bets to
I personally believe so, and I think the science is there that suggests that's the way it's going to go.
If I was a better man, yes.
Yeah, I think, and I'm going to, and you know, I think that Tina Cardoza is grabbing a lot of votes.
Okay.
I've seen a lot of comments on social media about her, and I'm talking about comments from conservatives in our city.
Okay.
So she may end up there, and so I don't dispel, I think that it could look like a Tina, Gary, Tina, Addis.
I don't see Gary.
Yeah. A lot of people say they don't see Gary.
I just don't see Gary. I see Addis. Am I saying this name right?
No, you say Addis.
Addis. I see him. Very strong candidate.
Yeah.
I see Ann Beauregard.
You see Ann as a strong one?
Not that I see her as a strong one.
Yeah.
But she's shown experience. She's been vocal.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Has she been out there campaigning as much as she should be? No. That's probably the weakest part of her game.
Yeah.
But I mean, she's been vocal in areas. Not to say that her being vocal has been something that has resonated, that the folks are, you know, they're all cheering her. She's going to have her detractors.
Right.
But I think she's part of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to say, so...
I think they've all run great campaigns.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
With that said, I would have liked for some folks to have paused. But I think that they've ran some really good campaigns. And we're glad that they're willing to serve. But I think that fourth seat, I'm not willing to... stick my head out on that publicly.
And I think Tina, I think Tina's in the conversation. I just confidently don't feel. I don't feel it at this moment. I could be proven wrong.
I mean, I think the advantage that Tina's going to have is the wave of people who are supporting Pereira. Sure.
Oh, my friend.
That's going to be an advantage. The same way Adias had an advantage when Gene was running the primary. I think that's going to be a logjam. I do think a person who maybe kind of the odd man out might be Kevin, because he's running a great campaign, but just starting a little later.
Right.
But yeah, you know,
and people have said Kevin's could be a safe, if you're uncomfortable with everyone else, Kevin could be a safe bet, but I'm not sure, because I think that one of the mistakes Kevin and I can have a conversation on November 6th. I think it was a mistake for him to constantly mention the Sanctuary City and all. I just don't think he should have done that.
That was the hot button topic.
But that race is going to be a lot closer.
We'll know tomorrow, but
that race is going to be a lot closer than people think. It's going to be a log jam. I'm telling you that right now.
Yeah. So again, you're listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD, and for the segment, my guests are Bishop Tony Branch and Nubi Rito, and these gentlemen know these candidates. They know the races. They've been following. They've had chances to speak with folks. They have watched the political forums. They've listened to them. And so they're here as trusted voices. All right, so just with the few minutes that we have left, and again, at the conclusion of this conversation, you'll have a chance to hear previous conversations that we've had here on Monday Night Talk with Councilor Robert Sullivan and with Jimmy Pereira. So stay tuned for that in a few moments. But let's delve right into, you know, the heavyweight fight. You know, the top of the ticket here, and that's Jimmy Pereira and that's Robert Sullivan. And, you know, I think Robert Sullivan, well, you know, he had, when you look at the preliminary, he had a nice deficit. Now, how will the votes from Jean Bradley Duran Court, how will those figure in? How will the Mark Lawton votes figure in? Yeah. The folks who had voted for the other five individuals during the preliminary, where will those go? Right. And how much hustle, you know, is behind the political muscle with these two candidates? I will start with you, Bishop.
Oh, did you really want to start with me?
Keep it as short as possible.
My prediction on the, it's plus right now, it was 2.5 weeks ago, I would say Sullivan to win. Since the election is tomorrow, I think it's plus or minus 100 votes either way right now.
You really think that Jimmy has closed the gap
that
much?
I think that Jimmy's closed the gap. I'm going to tell you what's closed the gap. The fact that, again, Bob just did not do a very good job with respect to diversifying his team. I know that he's been going around to the churches, et cetera, but from the feedback that I've gotten, that he answered poorly to end up with that question from Jimmy Pereira about discrimination. On the flip side, I say plus or minus 100, because I think that Jimmy ran a traditional Democratic campaign, which is not necessarily a good thing for Brockton, seeing that it has a lot of Republicans, in addition to the fact that, remember, the Republicans carry the gubernatorial race. So I would have ran his campaign a little bit differently, but it is what it is. We will know tomorrow.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, Bob goes in as a favorite in his race to lose, but here's how I say, I'm just going to break it down to a simple sports analogy.
Love sports. You and I are sports guys.
We're the sports guys at the end of the day, okay? Bob Sullivan is Al Horford. You know what you're going to get. You're going to get solid 15 points, 10 rebounds every game. Solid. You know what you're getting.
Yes.
And Jimmy Pereira is the number one pick in the draft.
There you go.
You don't know what you're getting. Are you going to get LeBron James or are you going to get Kwame Brown?
We love Newbie.
And it comes down to that. At the end of the day, that's what it is.
He wrapped it up.
Can we talk Pelicans? And what was their draft? Where's their draft pick right now?
Is it Zion Williams?
Yeah.
Right.
Or is
it
going to be someone else?
Yes.
At the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. Experience between potential.
I love you.
And I'm also going to throw this little nugget in as well. That the gap for the preliminary, and I've in years past, the only person that I have ever seen really be able to close a gap like that was Mayor Bill Carpenter. When he was able to close a significant 800, 900 vote gap and have a 55-point, you know, he'd have 55 votes.
You're absolutely right, but neither one of them have the Carpenter style. We all know Bill.
Neither one of them have the Carpenter style. But I'm going to tell you, though, that these are intangibles. Let's not forget the past five elections.
Yeah.
Bob, Councilor Sullivan, has been the top vote getter.
You get it, yeah.
So he has those intangibles.
Right.
But you got a young guy, a hungry guy like a Jimmy Perez who's been banging on the doors. And I think you and I had the conversation during the summertime when, oddly enough, when we were sitting there for the preliminaries, the two Enterprise, the newspaper guys, like going, oh, it's going to be Mark Lawton. I'm like, I don't see it.
No, you and I kept saying that. No way. I saw Jimmy
because Jimmy has been out there.
He said that.
You know what? He didn't just go away after not being successful 2 years ago. He still was a community guy, still out there, you know, not only out there in the community, but out there when it comes to social media and talking to people when there's something. He's just always there. He's got a smile, and he's willing to have conversations.
Everybody likes Jimmy.
He's
I'm going to tell you that.
He's an easy guy to talk to.
I always say just
everybody likes Jimmy.
Look at the momentum.
Yeah.
And you could have a great, I'm going to use another sports analogy, a great team. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You got the New England Patriots, 16-0, but the momentum, the New York Giants that year in 2007.
Yes, you're right.
So just look at the momentum. It's going to be extremely close.
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to win.
I'm not saying he's going to win.
I don't know.
Right.
It's going to be, but I'm just saying the momentum feel like is going a little towards Jimmy.
I'm
going
to say this, though, is if Jimmy is successful, I don't see Jimmy as being a guy who will use the term cookies when there's somebody out in the lobby. And you gentlemen, if you both you know where I'm coming from with that.
I got it. I think, listen, in analyzing the Pereira's team, one of the things that I would have strongly suggested, when he kept getting hit, we'll know tomorrow, but when he kept getting hit about experience, all Jimmy had to do is just go publicly, these are the sort of people who's going to be around me once I win this office. And people were like, okay, we feel comfortable with you.
I
think some of the folks are saying that we can't put that black dot there because we don't know what we're going to be getting.
Okay, so we're going to wrap up right now. I want to thank you, Bishop Tony Branch. I want to thank you, Newbie. So you're saying... Are you calling this for tomorrow night? Are you calling this for Jimmy?
I'm not calling. No.
Too close to calling your card.
It's too close to call.
Okay.
No.
Newbie?
Someone's going to win by a whisker.
It's plus or minus 100 something votes, I believe.
Someone's going to win by a whisker. Yeah.
I think I agree with you, and I'm not going to go
I'm
either.
Not going to predict this.
And also as a respect to both candidates who have worked hard.
They've put in the time, man.
They have. Absolutely.
Jimmy and Bob have put it.
And they're both good people. They're good people.
And they're both friends of mine. Listen,
same
they've
here.
Put in the work. They've put in the work, so I'm not going to even try to, you know.
Right now, if I was to kind of lean, I feel as though it's Bob Sullivan's race to lose. Mm-hmm. And if Jimmy is the victor, then that shows because that would show his work out there knocking on doors and campaigning.
Right.
So we'll leave it with that.
Exactly.
Well, let's try to have the three of us together again, maybe in the next couple of weeks.
Sounds
after
like a plan.
After tomorrow's election and breaking this down and discussing it. Sound like a plan?
Sounds like a plan.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
We're going to step aside, and when we come back, like I said, we get the two interviews with the two candidates on deck. You are listening to Monday Night Talk right here on 95.9 WATD. Don't go anywhere.
The new patio at McGuigan's offers alfresco dining in downtown Whitman. Seafood lovers will love the shrimp scampi, lobster leg tacos, and fish tacos. If you prefer something meatier, the patio's braised short rib dinner and 14-ounce pork chops are customer favorites. Into the latest food trends? Try the patio's Beyond Burger and flatbread pizza. The patio has 7 55-inch TVs and a 9-foot video wall, making it the perfect place to eat, drink, and socialize. And don't forget McGuigan's Pub next door. They're located at 546 and 552 Washington Street in Whitman.
Getting sick is inconvenient. Getting great care shouldn't be. From illnesses to injuries, Convenient MD, New England's leading urgent care provider, is here to help you get back on your feet. Walk into any Convenient MD location in Quincy, Weymouth, Falmouth, or their newest location in Pembroke, opening November 14th, to be seen by their highly experienced and compassionate medical team. Open 7 days a week, 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. Learn more at convenientmd.com. Convenient MD, expert medical care, when you need it, made affordable.
This weekend, WATD continues our coverage of South Shore High School football playoffs. As the Rockland Bulldogs take on the Ashland Clockers. Hear every play as it happens. Live this Friday night with pregame starting at 6:30. Brought to you by Mountain One Bank, Life Care Center of the South Shore, WCS Automotive, Tish's Restaurant, the South Shore Gutter Monkeys, and the South Shore's home for local high school sports, 95.9 WATD.
The new patio at McGuigan's offers alfresco dining in downtown Whitman. Seafood lovers will love the shrimp scampi, lobster leg tacos, and fish tacos. If you prefer something meatier, the patio's braised short rib dinner and 14-ounce pork chops are customer favorites. Into the latest food trends? Try the patio's Beyond Burger and flatbread pizza. The patio has 7 55-inch TVs and a 9-foot video wall, making it the perfect place to eat, drink, and socialize. And don't forget McGuigan's Pub next door. They're located at 546 and 552 Washington Street in Whitman.
Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. We now return to Kevin Tocci and Monday Night Talk. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tocci.
Okay, we are back. Our second guest has arrived. He was actually downstairs, just kind of hanging out. Covert.
Looking at Elvis.
Yes. Yes.
Famous.
People marvel when they walk in and they see Elvis. I can tell you, this is the exact same replica of that Elvis on Hollywood Boulevard.
I'll tell you, my first time coming to this station, I was really intimidated. Because there's no one to greet you.
You
don't know where you're going.
No, you don't.
There's all sorts of stuff downstairs. You know, it smells like an old radio because there's all those radios down there. And
it's all that stuff is being collected for the Edward F. Perry
Museum.
Memorial Museum.
I was just waiting
don't
for the.
Say that.
Yeah, right. I was just waiting for the Crypt Keeper to just walk up.
Yeah. You're here to join us today.
That was really good, Kevin.
Thank you very much.
Joining us is Jimmy Pereira. Jimmy is no stranger to this radio program, to this radio station. Jimmy is a candidate for mayor in the city of Brockton. He's one of two remaining.
Yes.
Looking for your vote come November 5th. Yes. Tuesday, November 5th.
Exactly.
How's your campaign refocused itself since the preliminaries?
It's been very interesting and, I wouldn't say complex, but now that, you know, I've got support from some of the candidates as well, a lot of endorsements from a lot of different organizations and bodies of support. So, and now it's just pounding away at the pavement. A lot of people have thought, you know, especially with the diverse community like Brockton, some people thought that, oh, the election, you know, is over, you know, because of preliminaries, but it's like, no, you got to re-educate people, make the phone calls, and also a lot of people did not come for primary or the preliminary race, or there were, you know, situations where we kind of observed the errors in voters in the voting process as well too. So making sure people know where they're supposed to vote, that they've registered to vote, and actually the deadline is the 16th. So we want to make sure everybody knows into
this Wednesday.
Exactly. So make sure people are educated on that and they get to the polls and make sure they know where and how to get to the polls.
How important was it that you were one of two on that, you know, that were chosen, that had the top vote getters? Because there were a lot of people who were, I was speaking to the local newspaper.
Right.
And they were saying, oh, well, they were picking someone else who happened to be a former state representative, a former judge. Oh, yeah, he's got it cinch.
Right, right.
And no disrespect to anybody, no disrespect to any candidates. But
right.
I wasn't surprised.
I wasn't surprised either because...
I'll be honest, I don't know you.
I
wasn't surprised that the judge didn't make the cut.
Oh, okay.
But the judge hasn't been out campaigning like this guy.
Yeah, no.
Gene Bradley drawn court.
Neither, yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? Those are the two guys I had who were in my top three.
For me, it's he moved out of Brockton. He left Brockton and he didn't stay. Right. And I know there's 100 reasons why and they're all valid, but... You know, I think the average person...
Yeah, I don't take anything away from a name or a person or a family that has been a part of the dyed in wool. But also, you know what, there's been a lot of turnover in the city of Brockton
in all
the years.
Cities and towns.
That's right. That's right. And this is somebody who's been a mainstay for a number of years.
Yeah.
Who has built his name, his reputation.
Thank you.
And is a viable, worthy candidate. Somebody who, you know, even after... The general election of 2017 was still somebody who was out there. He didn't go, you guys didn't vote for me. I'm done with you.
Mm-hmm.
He was still posting things on social media, still meeting people, having conversations. And I think that helps an individual when they stay engaged.
Of course.
I agree.
of course.
100% agree.
And it is in my profession as well, too, to be a community organizer. As a community transportation planner, we are frequently in the community, frequently requesting public feedback and also public participation as well. And that's kind of the same thing that we're doing now and that we need now in this campaign is public participation. And again, 22 days away from the general election, time is ticking. We want to make sure that, you know, again, everybody's registered to vote and do your research on the candidates. We have a debate coming on the 17th at the Massasoit Student Center, so starting at 7 p.m. So please join in a couple other dates as well, too. So tune into the website, jimmyforbrockton.com, to get more information on that.
You're out there engaging with voters. Mm-hmm. What are they saying? What are you hearing are the top three top three issues or concerns that residents say, Jimmy, right, if you're elected, I need you to help our community with X.
Right. Well, I'll tell what you, it's a long list. It's not just one thing, right?
Besides paving my street and public safety.
Potholes, of course, violence, economic development. You know, what are we doing with, you know, Kmart leaving? Why is our taxes keep going up and we don't see the reinvestment in the community? Those are questions that I ask as well, too, being a homeowner since 2015. And it's actually even the same questions that I have as a resident and as a community member. What is there to do for our children? After school programs, the YMCA and the Boys and Girls Club, they're great organizations, great institutions, but not every family can afford the fees that are associated with that. But I've seen collaboration with local cities, municipalities, with these organizations in helping to make sure that everyone has a opportunity to visit these facilities, but also, again, encouraging public engagement as well. So other things that we've looked at is also the lack of transparency. People are wondering, what's going on with lawsuits that, are coming down the pipeline? What is happening? Actually, recently there was an interaction between local police officers and, the youth as well, too. So, what's the accountability, whether it's the school children or police officers, again, and also where's the communication as well, just to know, what's going on and what are the resolutions behind that as well, so it doesn't happen again. And I do see community members themselves engaging and looking to bring change as well. So we want to also address those issues that they have and also wonder, I wondered when I was one of those members, before running for office, is like, how do you get involved? How do you get engaged? And how do you have people to either provide access or provide insight or help to get those things accomplished. And, those are the concerns that we continue to see, and not just the concerns, but the action behind that as well. People wanting to make change and not just run for office, but be involved in the community.
And Dan might have a question, but before you ask a question, mm-hmm. I want to, you had touched upon something. There was an incident that took place on Florence Street.
Right.
I've seen multiple things that have been posted on social media that this is a larger problem with a group of kids.
Right.
And I know there were videos that were posted, there were people, there was a call for action. I know that there were our community leaders who had come and says, we need to have a conversation. Give me your take on, your loose take on this. Uh-huh. How do you feel about the leadership in the police department, community policing? Are you confident that we have a proper policing method in place when it comes to an incident like this or any others?
No, I'm not, actually. And I know, again, that's why I'm running for office. That's why I ran for office 2017, because I have a sense of urgency that, we need to get this done. And it's not putting blame on any of the institutions that's there already, and even the society that we have now with our youth, and it's very diverse as well. So, with my own digging and from what I've got from the situation, knowing that it's a culture clash, whether you look at even with, the youth, the adults, Brockton's a very diverse community. So we have myself being born here in America, but having a descendancy of Cape Verdean. Basically, my mom and dad came from Cape Verde. I'm a descendant of Cape Verde. And there's a culture shift there as well, a culture shock there as well, too. So when we have children immigrating from Cape Verde to America or to Brockton specifically, there's a disconnect where a native born here in America versus, an immigrant will have a relationship that, kind of brings turmoil because, this immigrant doesn't know English, but, they've brought the culture from Cape Verde, but me being American born and knowing the culture here and knowing whether it be the trends and the styles and just being more advanced because I know what's going on here or thinking I'm more advanced, and it's not to say that they're any less when they come over. They just don't know the same things that we have here. But they do have a good education system there. So, you know, you have intelligence. You have someone that's coming over that, you know, is striving to get acquainted, get assimilated. But this pushback from someone that feels that, oh, you know, you're coming here, green thorn or whatever the slander, the term is for a person that just came out of nowhere. And then you have that clash where they're calling each other's names, and the term that's used in my community is Geechies. So someone's going to hear that, and they're going to feel some type of way, and, you know, in this situation, someone got jumped. And, you know, when you have bullying and you have the culture, the lack of cultural competency and things like that, that's what happens. You have a clash like that on Florence Street, but also you have young children that, you know, see law enforcement and may have a stigma towards law enforcement because they don't know who that law enforcement officer is. They don't even are able to respect it because the culture, again, whether it be in the music or even just the hostility that we see on television day to day in different places in different cities, resonates with a lot of people when they're looking on their phones or they're looking at media and think that, you know, that's something that can happen here. And look, it's happening right now. And that's why, again, we want to make sure that we're going ahead of the curveball and make sure that, again, that we're taking action with a sense of urgency, being proactive rather than reactive, and making sure that we nip this problem in the bud. And I think it's better community policing, better community engagement. And how do we do that? Is to make sure that police officers are integrated into community, creating neighborhood associations who will be liaisons between community members and government, similar to the Crime Watch initiative that was going on, but it'll be more structured because through the neighborhood associations, it's going to be a form of body or a form of, I won't say government, but a form of organization that's going to continue to make sure that that can thrives in the community, and then there's more communication throughout the agents and partners.
Again, speaking with Jimmy Pereira, he is candidate for mayor in the city of Brockton. Did you have a quick question?
No, I mean, it's pretty clear you have a pulse of what's going on the ground, boots on the ground, as he had indicated, that you're working your tail off. Everything that requires a solution in government requires funding.
Right.
And you clearly need more police officers in Brockton, in my opinion. Yeah. And that requires more funding.
Right.
Right now, Brockton, we were just talking on the segment before you got here about OPEB, which is other post-employment benefits, which is basically a promise that was given in the 60s and 70s to those who retired that they'd get life insurance for life. And it's a giant bill for all the cities and towns. In Brockton, that bill is $747 million, and Brockton has saved, I believe, nothing or is about to appropriate their first 100,000 because Brockton joined the OPEB trust. How do you expand the services that you know are desperately needed while taking care of the legacy problems that were created long before you were born?
Right. Great question. So we see this, and actually through my studies of community and transportation planning, we've seen policies that have been implemented, not just through government, but also whether it be organizations like the insurance companies, FHA, like redlining, or you see the herbal sprawl, white sprawl, however you want to look at it. And knowing that, you know, sometimes you have to go back and rewrite those wrongs as well. And through city management, we know that it's a multi-pronged approach, it's multifaceted. So, of course, everything's connected. So we want to bring in more businesses to the city of Brockton. But when an investor comes in and then they look at the condition of the city, like homelessness, and you look at the, whether it be the condition of the streets, sidewalks, grass, overgrowing, litter everywhere as well too, I'm going to look at my portfolio, I'm going to look at the risk assessment and say, I don't want to invest in Brockton. But we need to make sure that we look, again, the multi-pronged approach. Let's clean up the city. Let's work with the homeless and the organizations. And actually, we'll call them people without homes, because you're homeless doesn't mean that, you know, you're not less of a person just because you don't have a home.
Of course.
And we will, again, what I want to do is work with nonprofits and different organizations and stakeholders to look at not just relocating Mainspring and put it anywhere else, but making sure that where they're going to go is going to be effective. Right now, we have a opportunity, if you know, negotiated right, to work with the CSX yard property and to expand not just the public safety complex, but also look at how we're going to help service our homeless situation. I want to look at a apartment style complex with a cafeteria area and also a workshop area where they don't just get fed, but they learn how to cook, learn nutritional values. I believe if you give a person a fish, feed them for a day, but if you teach them how to fish, you feed them for a lifetime. The workshop area, we will focus on not just mental health assistance and substance abuse, but also looking at workforce readiness, financial literacy, and also making sure that they're competent to look for not just the short and midterm, but the long term as well, too. We call that the holistic approach. And how do we pay for that is, again, with the stakeholders that are there, making sure that we're looking at how we're prioritizing the funds that are already in place, but also looking at when we're pursuing for grants and other funding sources, because it's not just tax revenues and it's not just grants, because, you know, grants, you got to compete for those.
Sure.
But it's also funding sources that the federal and state government has already allocated and is now disseminating to the communities for initiatives that, you know, as long as you have buy-in or that you're going to meet the government halfway, the federal and state government will incentivize and do so. And some examples are Complete Streets. That's a MassDOT initiative that says if you are going to do a project, make sure that you implement all aspects of the road. So not just motor vehicles, but also bicyclists, pedestrians, those with mobile impairments as well, too, on wheelchairs and, you know, the blind and hearing deficient. But also with Safe Routes to School, which is another initiative that helps with the schools improve sidewalk conditions around their neighborhoods. So these are examples where, you know, you look at different resources that are going to help solve the problem, but they're also interconnected to other problems that are going to help, bring more solutions to the table as well. So,
thank you.
Probably one of the final things I'm going to ask you, Jimmy, and that is, yeah, 2 years ago, it was a difficult task for you to be able to have, I think, a fair conversation with your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like this time around that at least you have somebody who's willing to have a conversation, engage you in the issues. Are you looking forward to these opportunities to be able to have a conversation so the folks can see where you and your opponent stand on the issues? Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily where it's, you're basically, I'm going to use a sports analogy here, where basically you're the visitor every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Are you feeling more that there's more of a home field?
Right.
And it's not necessarily where you're the visitor?
Yeah, I do. You know, I've played sports, and I think that's what made it real tough and really made it really competitive last time, because I was coming in, and, you know, not to say that, you know, it was the late Mayor Carpenter's
home.
But, you know, he did have his roots settled in, and especially in the diverse community that we worked in, he was loved
by. The tone set.
Exactly, right. So, and again, I play sports, and for me, it was very energetic because, you know, I'll give you a story. With me and Carpenter, one day, we were at the Cape Verdean Festival, and, you know, I was just out there working, giving out, you know, flyers, information, everything, and I didn't have much, you know, because, you know, he's got a big war chest, he's got shirts, he's got bottles, and people love free stuff, right? Of course, they, you know, just coming in, but, and I ended up in front of his booth just working away, and I knew some of the people in his booth as well, and then he's like, so you're the guy I should be looking out for, huh? And I'm just like, nah, I'm just here having fun. You know, just don't mind me. And, you know, ever since then, he made sure to, you know, look my way and pay attention. And for me, it's, you know, that, again, that sportsmanship, that camaraderie that, you know, you, no matter how hard you work against that opponent, you know, you always have that respect. And, you know, again, I always made sure to take that knee when his father passed away. I went, you know, visited him, gave my condolences, and mm-hmm. shared my experience with losing my dad.
Sure.
And when he passed away, I made sure to, you know, stay engaged with his family and make sure, again, to take a knee and show that respect because, you know, we're all human. You know, we're not saints here. And, you know, but we work hard. We do our best to.
I'm not a saint.
Let you tell that story, not me. But, you know, and that's what makes Brockton better. You know, we are one Brockton. We want to make sure that we thrive. We may have different visions, but the objective is the same, is to make Brockton better than what it was yesterday. And, you know, and that's what I want to do. He did great, did a lot of great things. But again, I ran against him because I seen more. I seen that there could be more done for the city. And again, working close with the state and the federal government, I know what they want, what they need. And when we go to pull data or information from the city and other municipalities, I'm not just singling out Brockton. There's a lot of mishap there. There's a lot of things that, you know, they don't have together. Municipalities don't have together. And part of that is communication and getting feedback from the community, but also transparency as well, too.
I'm Peter Brown of Tiny & Sons Auto Glass in Pembroke. People ask me, is there anything they can do to prevent getting a broken windshield?
Is there anything I can do to prevent getting a broken windshield?
See? There is. Those big gravel trucks, when they're being loaded, rocks get stuck in the framework of the bed. Truck hits a bump, rock hits your windshield. It pays to stay way back.
It pays to stay way back.
However, if your windshield is broken, just call 1-888-64-TINIES. And thank you.
Find the doctors, nurses, and specialists of Brigham Health. We live here, work here, and care here. For over 25 years, we've been providing exceptional primary and multi-specialty care to the communities of the South Shore. This expert, compassionate care is rooted in the clinical excellence and breakthrough research of Brigham and Women's Hospital, one of the nation's best, according to U.S. News & World Report. Visit our newest location in Pembroke, now accepting new patients. BrighamHealth.org/South Shore. Brigham Health, member partners healthcare.
What is AA? Alcoholics Anonymous is an international fellowship of men and women who've had a drinking problem.
It is non-professional and self-supporting.
AA is multiracial, apolitical, and available almost everywhere.
There are no age or education requirements. Membership is open to anyone who wants to do something about their drinking problem.
For more information, literature, and videos about Alcoholics Anonymous, and to find a meeting near you, visit AA.org. Alcoholics Anonymous has a solution.
Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Hey, we return for first segment of Monday Night Talk. Joining us, we are speaking with at-large counselor, council president, third time counselor?
Fourth time.
I'm sorry. I'm confusing you with probably Dennis Ian Airy or somebody like that. Councilor Ian Airy. And also Brockton Mayoral Council. Now, just so you know, we have Richard Rosen, who is my co-host this evening. I think you know Richard, don't you?
I do. How are you, Mr. Rosen?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. Now, I'm actually, Kevin, the other thing we could say is acting mayor, because the mayor of Brockton is not in the country, so I'm the acting mayor as of last night.
So you're actually, like, trying the hat on for size if you are successful.
Well, you know, I've done that in the past under Mayor Harrington, Mayor Belzotti, the late Mayor Carpenter, and now Mayor Rodriguez. So, you know, it's always a good thing when you're the council president if the mayor has to leave the confines of the city, and in this case, Moses left. So I fill in that capacity. So hopefully everything goes well, but it's always a good experience.
So I have to ask you right out of the gate is... how has your campaign refocused after being successful during the September preliminary?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. So I have just great volunteers. You know, as you know, 14 years on the city council, as a council at large, serving the whole city. So, you know, our whole focus all summer was to work hard, gearing towards the preliminary, which on September 17th. And, you know, our only purpose was to come in either first or second to make it to the cut. And we were fortunate enough to indeed come in first. And so it's myself and Mr. Pereira in the finals. So there is a refocus, a reshifting, a re-energizing, and it's been great. It's been really, really great. And actually, I've picked up a lot more supporters, a lot more people coming to the headquarters on Belmont Street in Brockton. And, I mean, we make it fun, and we're always positive when we campaign. But, you know, it's a serious job. And again, experience matters, in my humble opinion. And, you know, we'll find out 4 weeks from tomorrow. It'll be November 5th, and that will be the election day, the general election in the city of Brockton.
You know, Bob, I know you've been around for a long time. In office, and I know how difficult it is to run for office, but I'm just curious, in a city like Brockton, do you go out and knock on doors in this day and age of social media?
I do.
Do you really?
I do. I mean, that's how I got elected back in 2005. It was just my mother and my father and I knocking on doors. They call it old-fashioned politics, and I haven't changed. I mean, that's a philosophy. I like to do the face-to-face. I want to hear from the constituents specifically because I'm asking for their vote to serve City Hall for them. And you know, the capacity of being a councilor at large versus a mayor, it's still citywide. So I knock on doors, and we do social media, and we do everything you need to do in technology purposes, but I get back to the basics of just rolling up the sleeves. And I don't see my wife too much and my kids, my three children, on the weekends, but it serves a purpose. And I think it's in my humble opinion, it's the only way to do it. I think people have different views, but I like that capacity to do it that way.
I think it's worth asking, knowing that you are knocking on doors. Well, what are residents saying when you show up at their door? What are some of the things that are concerning them that they're hoping that if you are successful come November 5th, that you will get to work on come January?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question because it depends on the door I'm knocking on. I mean, if it's a younger family with children in the public school systems, you know, the education's paramount. Some of the seniors that I'm knocking on their doors, you know, they're really, really concerned about public safety and also quality of life. Perception's reality. You know, it needs to be clean, and the codes need to be enforced. And then the businesses, last Friday night, I walked Main Street from 4:30 to almost 8 o'clock, just going into the businesses and introducing myself and reintroducing myself. And, you know, economic development and making sure that the businesses that are here, that have been here, you know, get their fair share and make sure that they're staying here, number one, and also attracting new businesses. And, you know, as you know, Kevin, I have a master's in business administration from Boston College. I have a law degree from New England School of Law. So those two degrees have served me well as a city councilor, drafting ordinances or doing cost containment, fiscal responsibility measures during the budget. So it really varies. But at the end of the day, people just want to make sure they have a safe community, they have a clean community and a thriving community. So, you know, that's why I'm running for mayor. I'm from Brockton. My wife's from Brockton. We're raising our three kids here, ages 12, 9, and 7. And, you know, Brockton's my home, your home, and our home. And again, we want to make sure we have the right voices at City Hall.
You know, I know we had a little technical difficulty before we had you on, and I don't know if you heard me say that the late Bill Carpenter used to work for me in my Brockton office.
I didn't know that. No, I didn't hear that. I did not know that.
You know, for years after Bill was elected, I never publicly stated that he worked for me because I wasn't sure if he wanted people to know that. And then one night, actually here on the radio, he had said that he used to work for me, and so then the cat was out of the bag. But Bill is a great guy. But I've talked over the years, I talked to him many times about real estate in the city of Brockton, and I know that real estate's doing quite well. What is your outlook? What is your attitude? What are your feelings towards new construction of residential housing?
Yeah, so when I graduated from Boston College in 92, I took a year off before I went to law school. And I actually went to Massasoit to get my real estate salesman's license, and I worked for Frank Middleton Real Estate for a year.
I have an opening if you're looking for a job.
Well, now I have my broker's license, and I still dabble outside of the city. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, we need to make sure what Mayor Carpenter was doing in the downtown, you know, that train has to keep going down the track. You know, there's beautiful, you know, high dollar amount investment right now in the city of Brockton in the core. A lot of that is because of the Chapter 40 hour smart growth zoning, which was a catalyst for development downtown. I mean, that's why Trinity Financial invested $30 million and Vincente's did their natural expansion of $3 million over the old Star Market. So, you know, I'm pro-business. I really think that we need to enhance the businesses. But also, you know, we don't have to just look at downtown. You know, we have to look north, south, east, and west, spread it throughout the city. You know, the lieutenant governor was just here the other day, and she, you know, for a ribbon ceremony at 75 Commercial Street, which is right across from the Rocky Marciano Post Office. And, you know, beautiful old building, rehabbed. It's going to be great market rate housing. And, you know, I'd like to see some more commercial mixed use, and I think it will happen. Right now, you know, there's probably some uncertainty from some developers, investors, due to the fact that there is an election going on. But at the same time, Brockton, if Brockton was a stock, we should all be buying it because the upside is just so wonderful. And I think, you know, real estate is going to be paramount. And the development that's happening right now with new construction and also rehab is really enticing, and historic tax credits and the TIFs and the TIEs. And so I think it's a win-win. And I think with my background, if I am fortunate enough to be elected mayor, it's going to be a really good thing for the citizens because our tax base will increase with the investment coming in.
Council, I got to ask you this: is I know that I believe your police chief is going to be out for a bit. I think there's going to be a swearing in of another there's going to be another chief that's going to be interim for a short amount of time. I know that there was an issue with police with a group of teens, and that with a new administration, it's. It could be up to you to choose another police chief. Are these things that you're looking at in regards to when we talk about public safety and knowing that that's probably one of the top issues that a lot of residents are concerned with, other than having their streets paved?
No, I think it'd be pretty short-sighted as a candidate if you're trying to think of personnel matters and who's going to be hired and who's going to be here and there. I think really my main focus, to honest to God truth, is just to run a really positive, effective campaign and be successful November 5th, hopefully. And then, you know, what I learned in business school, and I'm a small business owner myself with a law practice, I mean, you kind of do an audit, right? I mean, you talk to people with different skill sets and backgrounds and experiences, and then you kind of evaluate different departments. But something that I will promise, and I have promised during the debates, is that we're going to hire more police. We're going to cut some funds from the budget that are earmarked for overtime to hire new police, men and women, that will be the brave folks that are going to serve our community. You know, right now, hiring retired spots is fine, but we need to get more people, you know, community policing, walking beach downtown. That's how it was when I grew up in Brockton. So, you know, in terms of, like, department heads and all that, that stuff will work itself out, whoever does get elected mayor. But I know Mayor Rodriguez is working on certain endeavors right now in his capacity as mayor. But, you know, if I am fortunate enough, you know, the first thing I'm going to do is to do a community engagement meeting, which will invite all citizens, all residents, and business owners in the city of Brockton to come together. And that's where you share the ideas. And through collaboration, we're going to have some effective governing and making sure that the city moves forward in such a positive manner. So I can't say, Kevin, that, you know, I've thought of that, because I haven't, and nor should I, because I'm a candidate, not the mayor.
Again, we're speaking with Brockton City Council, Council President, at-large councilor, and mayoral candidate, Robert Sullivan, who's joined us. Rich, you have another? We got him for just a couple more moments here, but do you have another question?
I have a question. I'm old enough to remember when Main Street was two-way, and I'm just curious what the status... over the years, I've heard that they were going to change it from one-way back to two-way. I'm just curious what the status of that is.
So I've been serving 14 years, and it's been every 2 years we run in Brockton, right? And that's always a question. You know, my mom and dad met when the Cine Theater was downtown. That's where they met. My grandmother used to run Fannie Farmers downtown. So, you know, I would entertain any tool in the toolbox that's going to enhance development downtown.